Coming up on TMS, how merry is your Poppins?
Old 2 a.m. turkey.
That guy delivered.
The red-nosed thief.
This tastes weird.
I wonder if this zapper will work.
Well, let's ask Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Finally, the retching will subside and you'll have a sustained feeling of sensual excitement which will lapse into a state of euphoria or well-being.
It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. But other than that, I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
The Morning Stream, the show where today is tomorrow yesterday, and yesterday is tomorrow today. Tomorrow.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's the Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johns with Brian Ibbitt. What's going on, Brian?
It's your boy Morning Stream. Click the like and subscribe.
Yeah, don't mash that subscribe button. And there you have it. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Thursday. It's our final morning episode this week. We do have a PM tomorrow.
That's right.
So looking forward to it.
It's the last morning episode of 2018, Scott.
Is it? Oh, it is. Weird.
It's the last AM episode. I mean, well, we're not doing anything New Year's Eve.
No.
Well, we could.
But I don't to talk about that.
I'm not entirely opposed to that idea, maybe.
All right, well, we'll give that some additional thought. <you know. laughs> I'll fix it, chat room. I know it's backwards. I'll fix it. I just haven't had time. I'll fix it. They're complaining.
Are you still having a hard time with the fact that it's me on the left, you on the right?
Yeah, and it's just this one view, and it's not that big a deal. I don't know why it matters to everybody so much, but it drives them all crazy. So it's good. You know what it was? Because for 7 years or whatever of the show, it was always flipped, and so their eyeballs can't deal with change. And so now that I've got a side by side going again, I can do it. I just need to go fiddle, and I'll fiddle and get it. Don't worry.
It's like how cats react when you change the positions of the couch and the chair. They're like looking at it like, wait a minute, this is not right. Their tail starts swishing really fast back and forth.
Yeah.
Like this is incorrect.
What Brian's saying is y'all are like cats, is what he's
y'all
saying.
Y'all are like cats. You're our cats.
Yeah. It's fine. You guys, you know, lick your privates and eat weird food and smell bad and all that. You're great.
Now curl up on my lap, Tondagasa.
Mm-hmm.
Get up. Fall asleep.
Get up here, little boy. That sounds wrong. All right. Hey, we're going to dive right in. We have a lot to talk about. So last night I get this text from Brian. And I was actually a little concerned because I thought, Brian going to see this Mary Poppins, very traditional Disney thing. I get it. Totally get it. Taking the crazy neighbor who apparently packed alcohol in there, or is this one of those theaters where you can have it?
Oh, this is the AMC with the MacGuffins.
Oh, okay.
Where you can get the alcohol.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that makes sense. Anyway, I see this picture.
Funny name. You know, it does. It sounds like an Irish pub, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going down the street to MacGuffins to toss back a few pints. but when you think of the actual name of MacGuffins, which was Alfred Hitchcock's term for the thing you think is important to the story but isn't really important at all, like the sword of destiny in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon,
or Marcellus Wallace's
briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, the light that kept coming out of that damn briefcase. I didn't know Hitchcock coined that term. That's news to me.
Yeah, that's Hitchcockian.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I had no idea. I thought MacGuffin was like some ancient term. I'd look it up and I'd go, first coined in the 15th century by King What's-His-Bucket. Like, I really thought that would be it, but no, you're blowing my mind here. I didn't know it was his.
Really wish there was a King What's-His-Bucket. Well, all hail King What's-His-Bucket.
He was good to his people. That's the important thing.
That's right.
Anyway, so you're sitting there, and there's Dave. I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know about this. Dave and alcohol and Mary Poppins. How's this going to go?
Yeah.
So how did it go?
They even used the phrase, five shots of liquor help the medicine go down.
No kidding, dude. So did it go all right? Did he like it?
No, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing that may surprise you. Tina and I are, you know, we like Mary Poppins. We like the original film. Yeah, we're just fine with the Mary Poppins. We'll, you know, we'll sing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious every once in a while, probably.
Yeah.
You will not find a bigger Mary Poppins fan than Mrs. Crazy Neighbor. Oh. She is to the point where she was a little like, you know, she was leery when she first heard about this. Like, what? They're making a new Mary Poppins movie. They should just not remake stuff. And I said, well, no, it's actually it's a sequel. It's going to continue, you know, after the original story. Mm. What? And they don't have Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke. Well, actually, they do have Dick Van Dyke. You know, it's like a lot of defense, you know, because she's very Mary Poppins purist.
Sure.
And he is kind of by extension. The fact that she watches this and The Sound of Music and a lot of those Disney and Disney adjacent musicals, things like that.
Sure.
You know, he kind of becomes a fan of it. So it kind of is a surprising thing when you think of Crazy Mr. and Mrs. Crazy Neighbor that they are they're Mary Poppins fans.
That's awesome.
She loved it.
Yeah.
I think she loved it. She had a little problem with without giving, I mean, it feels like a movie where there weren't really spoilers,
no,
right?
Not really.
But there's some stuff that happens with Big Ben. And and a thing that Mary Poppins maybe could have done the whole time, mm-hmm. without having to sit there and watch a whole bunch of rigmarole.
She's kind of a sadist a little bit when it comes to that stuff.
She kind of is, yeah. And you forget, even in the original movie, you kind of forget she's a very caring and loving person, but she's kind of she doesn't take any crap.
Nope.
And
not at all.
And she does not suffer fools.
No, and she's happy to have the entirety of the working class of London do a thing for her that she could have done the entire time. And at their peril. They all nearly died doing it. And then yet at the very end, oh, I have to do it myself. And she went and did it. Yeah, she's totally that way. But
yes.
I'm thrilled to hear that there was some, sort of Dave like it.
He really liked it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Their niece, who was visiting from out of town, did not like it.
Really?
But she fell asleep somewhere around, what did they say? What scene was it? Oh, it was around the Meryl Streep appearance.
Oh, the Meryl Streep business. Yeah, that was weird. How old's the niece? I think
she's
important.
She's 13.
Okay, there's your problem right there. You can't have a 13-year-old in there. 13-year-old's not going to be able to appreciate this stuff. If I was 13, no. I would have hated it. It's not my thing at 13 at all. The old movie wouldn't have been my thing at 13. This wouldn't have been. This is a very specific kind of deal. Jeannie says read the books and says she's sweet and cute in the books, but I didn't even know there were books.
No. She's not sweet and cute.
Oh.
Well, Mary Poppins is not sweet and cute in the books.
Oh, not, she's saying. Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. She's a little more. It's, you know what it reminds me of? It's like, what's that one with Jim Carrey was in the movie and in the TV show? Got the Punky Brewster. What's his name? The dude from How I Met Your Mother, and it what's it called? This series of unfortunate
events.
I kind of get that vibe from her, just a little bit, just like this little, like she's just got a little bit of a twisted kind of see if I can get these kids to do this weird thing. Well, in the end, I'll put them to bed and make sure they're fed, and you know,
exactly. Yeah. It's almost like these kids don't believe in the impossible. They're freaking stupid.
Yeah, stupid kids, dumbasses.
But the music again, you know, I think we said this on Monday after you saw it, or I'm sorry, on Wednesday. My week is all screwed up. But the music feels like perfect continuation.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Everything about it. It feels like it was filmed in that Disney Technicolor style. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
And there's no, I mean, it, you know, like you said, it only takes place 20 years after the original. So there's no, oh, Mary Poppins, we can't get the kids to stop playing Fortnite. What can we do? Kind of thing.
Yeah. In another era, they would have tried that and it would have sucked.
Yes, exactly. Oh, heaven forbid we ever see that era.
Yeah.
But, Jeannie's like, is there any rap? There's not rap. There's a little bit of Cockney rhyming storytelling by Lin-Manuel Miranda, but it is not.
Oh,
I definitely
not
would
rap.
Not qualify it as rap.
No, not even close. Not certainly not in the category that Jeannie disdains. She doesn't like rap at all, and it's nothing.
Right.
It's not like that at all. It's like a joyful, happy dance around, singing in the rain style thing. It is.
Yeah, it's a rapping. Great. It's a great scene in the music hall and stuff. Anyway, it's
chap hop.
it's kind of chap hop a little bit, like. Gentleman, what's that guy's name? I mean, there's a couple of chap hoppers. I think we've even played some chap hop on the show.
Mm-hmm. I think we probably have. By the way, I only have one complaint that I thought of after I talked about it. Mm-hmm. And it's, they missed an opportunity here. Because I mean, they brought back... Oh, that's a spoiler, though. All right, I don't want to spoil it. There's some fun things there if you're an old Disney fan. Like, some people show up and you're like, oh, hey, well, you already mentioned one of them, but there's another one who's giving out balloons, let's say. That's
big deal.
Right. Bedknobs,
I mean, she's on the poster.
She is.
Her face isn't on the poster, but her name is. So.
Yeah, yeah. So there might be some giveaway there. But also, I think they missed an opportunity. The entire movie, she kept checking out her reflection. Did you notice that? It was always checking her face in the mirrors and stuff. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's a little bit exactly like looking at a reflection in a balloon or in a mirror.
Yeah,
or
constantly looking at herself.
Well, she does at one point even utter, ah, perfect in every way.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
which is a very, very popular. Really, I think that's even a Julie Andrews line from the first one.
It probably was. Now, here's my problem, though. I'm fine with that. I just thought it was so overt that what they were going to do in the very end at some point is she'd look in some final reflection, and looking back at her would be Julie Andrews, current day.
Oh.
Like, wow. You know, because she has to, like, she really is older, but she has this image of never aging, but then there's this moment of, you know, where she... They missed an opportunity there.
Did she? Will she at that point go, oh boy?
I want that to happen. I have that music somewhere. Do I have that? I have it handy. Hold on. Wait, what's that called? What's the show called?
It's Quantum Leap.
It's Quantum Leap. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. No, I don't have it. Ah, poop.
Oh, bummer.
I thought I had Quantum Leap music. And it would just get us banned from something anyway. Oh, here it is.
When your hair is...
Never mind, that's Quantum Hair Gel. That's not it.
That is so not Quantum Leap.
Nope. Anyway, so, all right, well, good. I'm glad all was well and people had fun and, you know, I don't know.
So
it just looks
before
like
we get
time.
To this next note in the... and after each song, Mrs. Crazy Neighbor was clapping and it was so cute. She was just like so into it and getting into it that...
Yeah, our viewing had the same. People losing it at the end, clapping and freaking out. Same with Bumblebee, by the way. We are in a crowd of serious Bumblebee fans because that place erupted, which was interesting. I didn't expect it. Actually, I didn't expect it in either case, but people were just at the end.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, anyway. You were
do me
say,
a favor, will it hurt things to like... cut and reconnect us, because I'm getting lots of weird all of a sudden weird laggy leg from
we can do that. Well, I wonder what that is
about. I don't think it's, I mean, I'm not necessarily thinking it's you. I think it's just Discord doing one of its little poopy server things.
All
but
right, I'm gonna disconnect.
I just checked and made sure I don't have,
if we go like
going.
This and then Brian should disconnect too. Yeah, there we go. And then I call him back. And then we see what happens.
Second to figure its business out and see if that solves it.
Deep, doop, deep, doop. Is it better?
So far, so good. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's much better. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me in that little bit of technological rigmarole.
I'm an accommodator, not a denominator.
You're a very common denominator.
I am a very common denominator. That is the freaking truth. Okay. Yeah. Also, I'd like to apologize. Right. Apparently, we trigger people when anytime you hear like even a taste of Trump's voice, it triggers people.
Oh, so, did we really even from that?
I think so. Now, I just thought it was freaking funny because he did this press thing Christmas Day or something where it was just a wall-to-wall tirade against everybody he hates. Just bam, 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 bam. And I'm not kidding. It was really like, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes of just straight throwing shade on everybody on Christmas Day. And at the
it was
very end.
Him going down his Arya Stark list of people that he wants to kill.
Yeah. And at the air, at the very.
The Mountain. Not a big fan of the Mountain. Want to take him out as soon as they get a chance.
Yeah. And it's in the very end, he goes.
But other than that, I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
So right on the back of saying, it's a terrible time for our country. It's a terrible thing happening to our woe is us. Everything sucks. But other than that, have a Merry Christmas. Like, it's just the funniest thing.
Yeah,
so I had to play
weird,
it.
Exactly.
I had to play it. There's no politics in there. It's just weird. It's just a weird thing
it's
to
just
hear.
Weird. The whole other than that. Yeah. Other than that, the play was fine, Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah. And I mean. You understand where I'm coming from here. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. It's not like one of these.
I love my wiener.
I mean, we know he loves his wiener. No one else does, though. Anyway, let's talk about this. So last night I may have done a weird thing. So I haven't slept well since like a week ago, and I don't know why. Usually sleep okay, but last like week or so, fine during the day, no weirdness, everything's fine. But at night, I'm up every 5 minutes. I feel like I'm tossing and turning more than I used to. Just can't freaking sleep. And so I thought, well, that's weird. Last night I thought, all right, I'm going to take two of these melatonins here, you know. It's supposed to be natural melatonin. Go in there and just naturally generate the sleepiness, you know.
Sure. It's and not, I have a comment about that once you're done.
Oh, good. Because it's not like, as far as I can tell, it's not like Ambien or, you know, some other thing that can make you sleepwalk or addict you or any of that stuff. It's just a little melatonin in your system is supposed to do the trick. And so I took, whenever anything says take one, I always take two because one never works for me of anything. If it says take one Tylenol, if it says take one Advil, it doesn't matter. It won't work unless I take two. I think it's just because I'm a tall guy and the blood's got to go far. I don't know what's going on with that. But it's always been true my whole life. Cold medicine, whatever it is, I got to double dose it. It's just the way it is. Unless it's like hard drugs, which I've never taken, which I assume would probably be fine if I didn't double dose. But yeah, I don't do hard drugs. I've never done anything more than, gosh, it's the worst drug I ever took. Actually, the most hardcore drug I ever took was, what's it called? I forgot. When I had my neck surgery thing, they gave me Lamberginol.
It is not triggering any sort of...
Loratab, that's it.
Loratab, okay.
And I took half of one of those, and it made me feel like I was taken to the moon by aliens and was being poked in the bum, so I never took it again. I hated it. So, anyway, I took these last night, and sure enough, I got all sleepy, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. I'm just going to peel out of here and do this. My wife got me one of those cool weighted blankets this year for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how do you like that?
I love it. It's like this big, heavy... Oh, it's so good for movies or just reading or whatever. You just curl up in this heavy 25-pound blanket. It's full of little glass beads in every little pocket, and that's what makes it heavy. And you just... It just is a big-ass heavy thing that just lays on you and makes you feel like, I'm not going to even move. It's like when you get all bundled up for snow or something. I love that feeling. Just being completely bound up like the kid in Christmas Story and can't hardly move your arms. I love that feeling. So,
I wonder how I deal with that because I'm claustrophobic, but it's more like a small... This probably wouldn't trigger claustrophobia because it's more of like a pressure as opposed to a feeling trapped or confined in a small area.
Yeah, I don't feel confined or trapped. It just feels... it's hard to explain, actually, what the feeling is. It just feels... Like I've got some, I don't know, there's like, I don't know, I can't explain it. I don't know why it feels good. It just feels good. Mm-hmm. And it's just a nice, I know some people like genuinely like get it because they need it. Like they got high anxiety stuff that this is the only thing that helps. I know a lot of animals, dogs, you can get like when they freak out for fireworks, you get them a little heavy thing.
A thunder blanket, yeah, or thunder shirt, which, does the same kind of thing where it compresses.
Yeah. Oh, it is like water, actually, chat room. That's Alex is right. It's like the pressure of water.
Submerged in water.
A little bit, yeah. Okay. And so I can just lay there and go, oh. And so that's what I did. That was even better, right? So I got the melatonin pumping. I got that going. I doze off. Great. Not waking up every 5 minutes. But at 2:30, I had to pee. Okay? So you wake up and you got to pee. So I got up and kind of groggy. I'm like, all right, got to pee. I go into the thing, I do the deal, I flush the thing, I wash the hands, I leave the room, I've peed, okay? So then...
Being accomplished, yes.
I've given you a real step-by-step here. And then I went into the kitchen, and I don't know why I did this. I have a perfect memory of it, but I went the other way and went into the kitchen and pulled out a little Ziploc bag with some cold turkey in it. And by cold, I also mean old. We've had this turkey in the fridge for like a week. So it's just starting to get, it's to the point where it might get a little slimy if you're not careful, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
it's a little aged, but I didn't seem to care at 2:30, and I microwaved some turkey, and I ate some turkey at 2:30 in the morning. Now, I'm not saying...
Oh, you microwaved it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I'm not saying it was the melatonin. I'm not saying it was anything. I just don't understand what I was doing. And to this very minute, I don't get what I was doing at 2:30 in the morning. That was out of the world, not a plan. Didn't even think about it while I was doing it. It was just like, get up, pee, I'm going to have some turkey. Do you have any explanation? Do you have any theory?
Well, I mean, it's funny because I know the tryptophan doesn't work like we want it to as far as a genuine sleep aid, but I wonder if your body was subliminally telling you, go eat some turkey because it'll help you sleep.
Yeah, I wondered about
but,
that.
But the be careful with the melatonin. And I don't know, while you've been talking, I've been trying to look to see if there's any facts on this because I'm a little bit worried about it myself. But there have been reports cited, and I haven't found the original reports to verify this, that when you take melatonin on a regular basis or like you take it for several days in a row or something,
yeah,
you're conditioning your body to produce less of it naturally, because you produce melatonin is produced naturally in your system, and then of course you always also get these gummies which can kind of supplement it if you're not producing enough. And it actually, if you take melatonin for a long time, you can actually sabotage your sleep production, your melatonin, a natural melatonin.
I did not know that. Now the reason this is funny you bring this up, this is also an effect of a lot of stuff. Like if you take like the whole point of the opioid thing is it replaces your natural dopamine receptors and stuff that's like producing pain killing agents in your own body, and it does it so much that your body's like, oh cool, we got this excess, we don't have to do anything, so it sort of recedes. And then when you take it away, you're in horrible misery because now you can't match it. It's probably the same kind of thing if you take too much of it. That makes sense to me. I get it. I am in no mood to do multiple turkey nights. I can tell you that.
I think eating turkey several nights in a row won't reduce your risk of melatonin loss.
Yeah.
Or tryptophan. I don't think we produce tryptophan naturally in our systems.
Yeah, as far as I know. I don't know how that tryptophan stuff works. I remember when I was growing up, they always said, oh, eat lots of turkey and you'll sleep real good. And then as I've gotten older, people are like, that's horse crap. You'd have to eat like 50 turkeys and you can't do that.
And I think it's just a natural, like you eat a lot of something, you're going to feel full and your body's going to kind of want to shut down and digest it or deal with it. So take a break. Go sit and watch the football game. Let me handle this. You just sit for a while.
Yep. Well, we've learned
or maybe it's go sit down and get away from the table.
Yeah, that's even better. That's more what it is for me.
That's probably more what it is. Your body just telling you, go somewhere else where there's not food.
Well, we've learned something today, everybody. Very pleased about that. We've learned a little something about melatonin, and be good to yourselves is what we're saying.
And ourselves. We've learned a lot about each other and ourselves.
You know, and this is so typical, too, because what I do is I do the thing. I do the unhealthy thing first, and then I take the melatonin to try to fix it. I think I know what my problem is. My problem is too late of nights, ate something too late at night. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll have sugar in it. That always jacks me up.
Yeah.
Or I'm on my iPad or phone or watching a movie too late or some stimuli that's just, you shouldn't, you know, you're supposed to be just like getting rid. I know the answer. The answer is
right.
Go to bed at a decent time. Freaking, you're not 16 anymore.
Read before bed and don't watch Netflix before bed. Just read a little bit.
Yeah, put your blue screens away. Do some natural human stuff.
Maybe do a little exercise a few hours before you're going to be ready to go to bed to kind of get your you know, wear your body out a little bit. Don't do it right before bed, but you know, a couple hours before bed.
This is totally true. Everything you're saying is accurate.
Yeah, and I don't do any of that.
That's what I'm saying is we know, right? We know. You and I both know what we need to do, but we don't
know the right thing. Yes, we just don't do the right thing. I'm watching Shameless. I'm catching up on the current season of Shameless and
being shameless yourself. Yeah.
Being shameless myself, exactly.
Check this out. I got a quick MacGuffin update.
Oh, okay.
Here's the history of it. The use of the word MacGuffin as a plot device predates the name MacGuffin. The Holy Grail and Arthurian legend has been cited as examples of early MacGuffinism. As a desired object that serves to advance the plot. The World War I era actress Pearl White used weenie to identify whatever object, a roll of film, a rare coin, expensive diamond, etc. That she basically, that was her version of this. Let's see. I'm skipping ahead here a little bit. The name MacGuffin was coined by the English screenwriter Angus MacPhail, who is a Scottish dude, and it was popularized by Alfred Hitchcock in the 30s. So there you go.
But it wasn't okay. I thought Hitchcock created the term. Look at that.
I did too.
Yeah.
And then George Lucas apparently has. Let's see. Here we go. On the commentary track for the 2004 DVD release of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, writer and director George Lucas describes R2-D2 as, quote, the main driving force of the movie. What you say in the movie, what you say in the movie business is the MacGuffin, the object of everyone's search. So he says R2 is the MacGuffin of Star Wars. Really? maybe he's got a different...
I would say the Death Star plans maybe were the MacGuffin or the...
Of the single film, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Of the entire series.
Oh, you're saying of the entire series?
Yeah, of the whole series, I guess I could see that, but it's not really a MacGuffin if it doesn't mean anything or if it's just a distraction. Because in the end, R2 does matter. Like, he matters. So right. I don't think he's... George Lucas has the wrong description, wrong thing there. Well, that would be a thing if you set up R2-D2 to be this huge, important sub-character and then just threw him out the airlock suddenly.
Right,
and he was never there again.
Yeah, the way the MacGuffin, according to Hitchcock, the MacGuffin is the thing that the spies are after, but the audience doesn't care.
Okay, I guess. I always think of it as just like a fake out, you know? Maybe I've got, maybe it's oversimplified for me now, the term.
Let's see. The Rimbaldi artifacts in Alias, The Orb, and Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
I forgot about that.
The Krieger waves in the Star Trek Next Generation episode, A Matter of Perspective. The Helmuth in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Looking for.
I'm trying to think of a recent one.
Examples.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head. Like a recent film with a major MacGuffin. Mm-hmm. Jar Jar Binks is the MacGuffin. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know,
but you're all making me hungry for an egg MacGuffin.
Oh, it sounds really good.
I could so go for an egg MacGuffin right now.
Egg and sausage MacGuffin.
That's right.
They just give you a hamburger instead. That's how that would work.
There's no egg in here.
No.
The egg is the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
In the McMuffin.
Sir, we thought you understood how this worked. This is how our MacGuffin works. Made fresh daily. All right. That's the end of that. Let's do this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Tis the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Skim. Oh, hold on. Let's do it with this. Brought to you by Skim. The Scott and Kim Show tonight at 5 p.m. Mountain Time.
Nice. Frogpants.tv if you want to watch it live on the podcast feed later. I've been sticking it on the TMS one as well just for a little bonus thing. See, people seem to like that it's one place for them, so.
Nice.
No complaints so far, so we'll keep doing that. But that's today at 5 p.m., I believe. Do we usually do it at 5? Hold on. This is perfect. Hold on. Where's my calendar?
Okay.
All right. So let's see. If I open my calendar, it says that 5 is correct. I was correct. 5 is the correct time for the show. I should know that.
Good.
This is all stories we had yesterday, and we just held over because they're all good. For example, this one. Here's a fun holiday story for you. A man was arrested for defecating on the floor at a FedEx forum. Says the bathroom lines were too long. Now, I don't know what a FedEx forum is.
FedEx forum is just basically a basketball stadium, or like it's basically an arena that is sponsored by FedEx. Like you've got wherever the Utah Jazz play.
It's not
the Salt Lake City sports complex. No. It's going to be like Invesco Field or.
Ours used to be the Delta Center for the longest time. Delta Airlines owned it, and it was I liked that. That stuck and held, and it was a good name.
Yeah, Delta Center is a good name.
Then they changed it to Energy Solutions Arena, which made me want to fart blood. And then that went away, and now it's Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Oh, that's even worse.
I know. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, that's horrible. So anyway, the only real connection to FedEx is that FedEx helped pay for the floors that guy pooped on. It's really all it's not near any packages. Not any FedEx packages anyway.
No, not. I mean, in my head, I was picturing like a big, I don't know, like a big. What would you call it?
Right, like a
hub.
A big distribution center. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a better word for it. And I don't know why that was in my head, but there it was. Guy's 46 years old. His name's Royce Tomos Lodeholtz. Lodeholtz?
He apparently couldn't load holes. He apparently couldn't hold his load for any longer.
Nope. His Lowe's was ready to go. He was arrested this week after security guard saw him taking a poop, says the article, not me, behind a concession stand during a Memphis Tigers-Tennessee Volunteers basketball matchup at the FedEx Forum. Mitch Koch of WREG Memphis reports Lodeholtz. Holes. No, there's no T in there. Holes. I keep it is Lodeholtz. It's Lodeholtz. Awful name. Told police officers he decided to go number two on the floor because the restrooms were full, giving him an amazing explanation via the police affidavit. Quote, he had to do what he had to do, unquote. That's literally in the police report.
He had to do what he had to do. Well, that's what he, his defense. His explanation.
Now, what if he really, I guess you just, what do? You just let it rip in your pants and don't. Expose yourself to
I don't
to
know.
The
I mean,
what do you do, Brian? Let's say it was real serious four
pop
alarmer.
Pop quiz hot shot.
Yeah. What if it's a real four alarm fire
pop
you got
quiz
going?
Hot shot. You got 45 people in line in front of you at the FedEx Center, FedEx Forum.
Yep.
I would probably just scurry around for some other bathroom. Or let someone, you know, maybe there's an employee bathroom that somebody would take pity on me and let me use. Pulling down my pants in a public place like this would probably be the eighth thing I would try to solve this. I could probably come up with, if I worked out, I could probably come up with seven better things to do.
Yeah. No, that makes a sense. That makes sense. Walking, or somebody in the chat says, just poop your pants and go home. I mean, I guess. Here's also a mugshot, by the way. Someone just posted this. This guy.
Yeah, the mugshot is great.
Yeah, this is pretty good. There you go.
It kind of looks like the direction that Robert Downey Jr. could have gone had he not gotten that sweet Iron Man money.
He's the highest paid. I don't know. Who is the highest paid actor we decided? Or you told us yesterday?
Mark Wahlberg from 2017 was.
Freaking Wahlberg. Come on. What are we doing? I like him. He's fine, but come on.
I like that we have a guy in chat named Dick Hertz One who says, "Yay, a great poop story. Can we stay on this story for 30 minutes?"
Yeah, and your name is Dick Hertz One, really? And you're going to complain.
Are you really free hotel room?
It sounds like him, doesn't it?
You're trying to tell.
I think it is him. That's my theory going forward. Yeah. I think that's how he got around the ban. I guess I'll just mute or whatever I did to him.
The mute.
I think he was just muted in here for 600 seconds. He could have come back.
Yeah. He could easily come back. Yeah.
He just can't talk to me on Twitter because I have him muted.
He's disconnected from Twitter. No, I mean, you know, I'd even among those seven things that I would try to do before pulling down my pants in the middle of the FedEx Forum and taking a dump on the floor, I would say even go to a women's room and say, could you do me a favor? It's kind of an emergency. I will cover my eyes if you lead me to a stall. I will it's just going to get worse if we don't do this.
Yeah. Also a little bug that there's a Dick Hertz that doesn't have a one in front of his name.
Exactly. Like, how are you the second Dick Hertz?
Yeah. You went to go register that name and it said, sorry, that name's taken. You're like, fine, I'll put a one on it. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
All right, Dick Hertz. Whatever, man. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's all part of the phrase, like Dick Hertz won. You know, like
we had a guy come into a chat last night. We were playing Heroes of the Storm, and he just kept barking off these comments like, does anyone know if these players have any game IQ? Does anyone know if they have game IQ? What's the level of Kyle's game IQ? And he just kept saying the word and the phrase game IQ over and over and over. And at the end he says, well, they would have won a lot faster that game if they had any game IQ. He just kept saying it.
What is game? Does he just mean learn to play noobs? Or is it like...
I think that's all he means, but he thinks he's being fancy about it, and I want to put my shoe up his bum. That's what I want to do.
Game IQ. Do these players have game IQ?
Oh, I was so annoyed. So annoyed with that. So every time anything would happen, we would go like... Kyle would die under a tower. Oh, Kyle, you don't have enough tower IQ. Gotta get that tower IQ going.
Good. Excellent. I think that's the best way to handle it is to just make fun of it.
It was so obnoxious. And he just sat there and took it. He never left the chat. He just sat there and listened, but never said another word again.
Game IQ.
I know. Game IQ, Brian. Sucks.
Game IQ. Game IQ.
Oh, it makes me want to kill somebody. I hate it.
We don't have any poop IQ about this story. Restroom IQ.
Sorry, Dick Hurts one. All right. I feel like going after people. It's almost the new year. You gotta go after people while you can. It's almost the new year. We got to turn over new leaves. All right. How about this deal? Colorado is in the news here.
Oh, good.
You live there. That's the place you live. Mm-hmm. What's it called? The Walking Man State or what is it? What's your name? What's your thing?
It's a Colorful Colorado or it's the Centennial State.
There you go.
Where a man can walk a mile high.
Oh, that's where I got the walking guy state.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Yeah, it's in our it's in our theme song. It's in our coming out onto the field music.
Do you guys do that? I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to
we do
be
not.
The man.
No, oh. Because the Proclaimers are neither from Colorado nor is 500 miles the height of anything in Colorado.
Yeah. Rifi in the chat says, by the way, game IQ is just the basic understanding of how the game works. Yeah, no, we know.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know because I was wondering if there was actually like an add-on you could get called game IQ that would like say, oh, the top lane has got fewer people in it. That's a really good lane to go to. Or I don't know.
Well, I mean, it could have, you're maybe he thought, it, yeah, and they don't do mods, so that wouldn't be it. But you know, that's a fair take on it. That's why it was so infuriating, because what it was somebody walking in and going, oh, does anyone have any game IQ in here? You know, a term that I know really well because I probably have a lot of game IQ. Like that kind of a-hole thing going on. That's what the problem was. A-hole. Yes. A-hole.
You know, next time, actually, we've all been rated with a game IQ of 135 or higher. What's your game IQ?
Yeah.
Just to see where, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have it quantified.
Made me want to throw a hot water bottle of pee at him. Just right at him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Colorado cops are still looking for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer costume-wearing thief. He's the most famous reindeer of all. Right. He's also a criminal. Police in Fort Collins are asking for the public to help identify someone captured on surveillance video breaking into a business last week wearing a giant Rudolph mask. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Burglar had a very shady scheme. And if you ever saw the video.
Had a very shady scheme. Come on, you got to do it with the music.
And if, let's see, sorry. And if you saw the video, it would want to make you scream like a light bulb. Oh,
yeah.
Part doesn't work. Fort Collins Police Services posted on their Facebook page. They actually wrote that on the Facebook page, which is pretty great. Several items were stolen from the businesses or the business on December 18th. If you have any info about this incident or know his identity, will you please notify Saint Nick?
Oh, jeez.
They're really leaning in. They added all of the other burglars used to steal without disguise. Of the other burglars used to steal without disguise. They weren't like this Rudolph. She's different from all the other guys. What does it mean? It's a lady.
Other guys, I don't know.
They mean it's a lady. Is that what they're saying? I don't get it.
I guess so. I guess Rudolph's a she.
What? That's
the plot thickens.
Identity politics working its way into the bracket.
That's right. All right. It's funny though because they don't. You know, they say if you have any information, please let us know. But they're not providing any information on what business was robbed or like
nothing. No.
You know, this woman I know all of a sudden has 12 jars of pickles. Mm-hmm. Did she rob a pickle place? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they have this photo here, chat. You can see it.
Yeah, I can't tell what.
That's the. I guess that nose there. Okay, those are antlers. Yeah. Whoops! This thing just started playing.
Oh, this is kind of hilarious.
Is there a video?
Watch the video. Are you watching the video?
Okay, here we go. Hold on. This is a tweet, isn't it? All right, here we go. I don't want to use cookies. Don't allow. Okay. Okay, fine. Facebook. Oh, it's a Facebook video.
Santa.
Why won't it play? All right, there we go. Here we go. Wait, there's no audio on either. Oh, they just put some music. So, oh, wow. Okay, just scurrying around, taking stuff?
Yep.
Is that what's going on here? Got a backpack on.
With a little bag and her flashlight. I still can't tell what kind of business that is.
How do they know it's a lady? I mean, is it... Are we looking at anatomical markers or what here? Because I can't tell. She's not really in the camera view. Oh, okay. She has boobs.
She does. She gets back in camera view in a second on that video. Yeah, but
she looks like probably a lady.
Yeah, she kind of does.
Oh, the hat's not working for you there. Oh, she has to adjust it.
Every time she bends over, it's like her head's going to fall off.
Oh, she took it off. Now it's off. But you don't see, all he sees is the hood. Oh, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. Oh, wait, that's her face.
What?
Yeah, she shows her face. Yeah, you get to about halfway, about 55 seconds in, 50 seconds in.
Yeah.
Her helmet's off and she's the thing's off and she's looking around the room with her face. I feel like they have a better chance of catching her if they just get off their
face. They just haven't watched enough of the video, probably because it keeps prompting to say, hey, can Facebook use your information data?
Yeah. Can we steal that and use it for nefarious means? We promise not to.
Oh, yeah. There she is with her. Yeah.
See that?
Yep.
What's the...
That's how they know. That's how they know she's a lady.
Yeah. I guess so. Good luck, Fort Collins.
She's like going through like, yarn.
Yarn.
It does look like rolls of yarn or blankets or something that are rolled up.
Also, no point in wearing that thing if you're going to take it off and look around the room.
Right, exactly. If you're going to wear a mask, make sure it's form-fitting so that you can actually have some peripheral vision that you don't have to take it off to look at the item you're stealing.
I'm no burglar, but that seems like bad form.
Exactly.
Here's a fun one, another holiday one.
Dick Hertz won, by the way, completely silent since we
not a word from Dick Hertz won. Oh man.
Yeah.
All right.
Has not said a thing since the Pooh story comment.
I stand by my theory. I'm willing to bet at least $5 that it's free hotel room. I'll bet you.
Yeah.
There's something about it. Something about his tone. Yes. Oh, let's do a poop story and talk about everything. That is totally his tone.
It's very, yes.
If it's not him, he should say something. And even if he did, I don't think I'd believe him. All right. good point, Matuba. I'm not going to repeat that, but yeah. All right. Here's a holiday story, Brian, that'll warm your heart.
Oh, good.
Not really. It'll probably turn your stomach. A girl discovers weird-tasting chocolate advent calendar she had been eating was meant for cats. despite the unusual taste of the chocolates in the £1.99 Garfield advent calendar her mother had bought her, 9-year-old Alyssa Davies Evans soldiered on. But after 4 days, she decided enough was enough and then on in didn't open any more of the doors. It was another week before she told her mother. She did not like the green-tinged treats she had been eating from the thing.
Do not like green cat treats and ham.
No. Sam, I am. And then she says, upon turning the calendar over to check the ingredients, the 26-year-old learned the morsels behind each door did not contain apple-flavored chocolate, as she had been concluding, but were made up of yogurt and catnip treats for cats.
Okay, because cats need an advent calendar.
Yeah, I know. That's the dumbest part of this. Is the cats.
They really need some, you know, some way of looking forward to Christmas. Do you need an advent calendar, Nara? Ears pick up, but she's not going to lift her head. She's just going to kind of glare at me with that one eye.
Yeah, that knowing eye that says, "No, I wouldn't want one."
Yes. What are you? Quit waking me up. Quit bringing me into this,
Papa Brian. I'm not interested. I get the idea of this, you know, there's weird stuff for cats and stuff, but this is the problem, is somebody who's not really paying attention buys it thinking they got this cool thing for their kid and they're wrong.
Yeah. My daughter likes Garfield. I got her an advent calendar. I would probably make that same mistake. And so why?
Yeah.
Why buy that?
Why buy that? This happened this year for Kim's side of the family thing. It's not exactly the same, but her parents bought all the grandkids. I forgot the name of the board game, but there's a very popular board game out right now, tabletop game that everyone loves, and I can't remember the name. But anyway, Carter had played it at a party and said, oh my gosh, it's the best thing ever. And they passed out copies of this game to everybody in the house. And everybody's like, oh, it's so cool, and we're so excited. And then Carter goes, uh-oh, while she's holding it. And I said, what? She goes, read this. And there's a little red text down there that says, this is only an expansion. Will not work without base game.
Oh, no.
So they didn't... nobody has the base game. All they have is this cheap DLC, basically.
They bought the DLC without buying the game.
Yeah, and they didn't know. So everyone's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to say anything, of course. And we'll probably just go try to find the game, and now we have that. But It was pretty funny because they didn't know. They just, it yeah. looked like the thing. It had the name on it. So this advent calendar probably just said advent calendar treats, whatever. Mm-hmm. And oh, there's a cute mm-hmm. cat on the front. That's funny. We like
right,
cats.
Right, Garfield. I mean, hey, who doesn't love Garfield?
Oh, yeah, Garfield.
Again, the cat doesn't care that there's Garfield on the front.
No.
The cat doesn't care that you're opening a flap every day.
No, nobody cares that Garfield sucks and shouldn't be good, but people still read it. Oh, wait, I've gone too far. Hey, here's the thing with Garfield. Garfield's fine. Jim Davis is a genius at marketing, but I can't get an entertainment from Garfield. Can you? Can you read Garfield and go, oh, this is great. I love Garfield.
No, I mean, he's just a cynical cat. What else is there? What else do you need to know? I'd say it's more like the big travesty against humor is Marmaduke.
Yeah.
The joke of Marmaduke on every Marmaduke, he's big.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what would happen if Marmaduke couldn't get through the door?
That's right. Oh, Marmaduke takes up the whole couch.
Oh, Marmaduke sucks.
Yeah.
He sucks. It's a bad deal. I mean, I understand it's got Heathcliff also bad. Heathcliff was a ripoff of Garfield. So it's,
Heathcliff was right, exactly. Yeah. Heathcliff was Garfield without the comedy.
Yep. Although I have to admit, I like whoever that did that where they took all those Garfield comics and took everyone out except John.
Yes.
And he's just talking to himself, and it's super haunting and weird when he does that. That's pretty great. But
it's so good.
I mean, there's a reason the amazing stuff like Farside and Calvin and Hobbes, those things end too soon and their creators go into hiding. You know why? Because they're geniuses and they're broken human beings and they're amazing pieces of work and they'll last forever and they're true artists. Garfield's just a factory for Garfielding, you know? It's just like, here's more Garfield.
What's your opinion of Family Circle? Family Circus.
I have a very low opinion of Family Circus. Why is Family Circle also familiar? Oh, that's a magazine my mom used to get.
The magazine was Family Circle, yeah.
Right. My mom used to get that. Yeah.
Come on, don't you think it's funny to find out the entire path that Billy took before he went home when his mom called him to come home for dinner? And,
no.
And he goes through the tennis courts and then around the doghouse.
No, never good.
Up into the treehouse and down the slide. Come on!
I admire Bill Keane for his success with that. I admire his brother who worked at Disney. Like, they're good guys. All that stuff's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. Family Circus never made me laugh. Not once.
Yeah.
And I tried. I would check it out in the paper and go, oh, there's that circle-y one. Because it'd be a circle, you know. It's different than the strips.
Right.
And you'd read it, and, and Billy would be like, oh, oops, I dropped my finger in the hole or whatever. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was. And then the family, oh, Billy, and then you're done. Sucks.
Right.
It's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be smirch. They were very successful, but they were of a time.
They were talented artists. Jim Davis, talented artist. Bill Keane, absolutely talented artist.
Yeah.
But,
Not me ghost. I forgot about that.
The not me. Yes.
Drop my finger into the hole. I don't know what I was saying. Anyway, there's some really funny people take family. See, again, this is another hack job, but people take old Family Circus comics and then redo the bubbles.
And right. Sometimes they're downright, the captions. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they're just downright rude, but kind of funny. I'm into it. Anyway, the bottom line is, before you eat any Advent chocolate, make sure you know what the hell's in there.
Make sure it is not made for cats.
Exactly. All right, we got a final criminal to talk about, and that is this man who tried to rob a bank with his NES Zapper. Do you remember that thing?
I had one of those. It's the only way you could play Duck Hunt.
Yeah, I've got one in a box somewhere hidden in this house. I don't know where. But it says here, an alleged criminal in Mexico might simultaneously be one of Nintendo's biggest fans and also one of the country's dumbest lawbreakers. According to a report, the man in Hermosillo, Mexico. Hermosillo. Sure.
I would say Hermosillo.
Ah, look at you with the fancy deal.
Yes. Well, Randy's not here.
No.
Scott, that would be pronounced Hermosillo.
Chorizo.
Chorizo.
Machete.
Mantequilla.
That's good stuff. Anyway, used an NES Zapper wrapped in dark tape, so he tried to at least make it look like a gun.
So, yeah. Just like wrapped black duct tape around the whole thing.
Yep. That was the goal. Supposedly, the tape was meant to make the gun look more realistic. As you can see in the image above, the plan was not a smart one. The gun still looked rather fake, and it failed to fool the police. The man was captured shortly after the robbery and now being investigated for more than a dozen other robberies. Let me show you a picture, chat, so you can see this here.
Kev Kipper actually posted of the gun.
Yep.
Looks like the gun's sitting on a car seat, too. Like, yep. like the police just Snapchatted that after...
Look at that thing. It's not a good job. It's a bad job.
No, it is. Yeah, he needs to watch a little bit more Punished Props. At least get the carbon fiber tape.
Yeah.
Do a little dry brush technique to look, make it look like the metal's been sheared off in some places, scratched off.
Yeah. I think that's it. That's all that needs to be done. And you've got yourself a real robbery there, buddy. So good luck to you.
This weekend. I promise you this weekend, I still have my space gun that I bought from Punished Props as part of their Kickstarter 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend I will actually complete it.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
You're going to paint it? Like, what has to be done, actually? Painting? And that's...
I have everything. Sand it, glue it, paint it, work it, tape it. All the things that have to be done to it.
That's great. Who knew? Yes. Who knew today would be the day you would work in a Daft Punk
reference?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. Also, well, hold on though. That thing comes just—is it just white? Is that okay? And you have to do everything to it. Okay.
Yeah, it's totally. It's resined out of the mold, and that's not a bad idea. Captain Kipper says I could do it live on the Twitch. Like, just basically. Cue up some cover music in the background and just go nuts with it.
Put a little camera over the top of the table.
I mean, grab it. It's like just right over there. I can grab it.
I want to see it. I want to see what you're up against for the weekend. Because this could be interesting. I can't see his naked, not naked, his, I can't see Brian's, what do you call it anymore? Your doll, your sex doll's not there anymore. In his background. You see that, you guys? There's a cat. There's Pikachu. Hey, where's your sex doll? She's not there anymore.
She's over there. Oh. She's next to the Tempest machine. Here, I'll think that'll work.
That is such a funny thing to hear if you don't know what the hell we're talking about. Okay, fair enough.
It's signed by Chuck Palahniuk, people. It's the Chuck Palahniuk snuff sex doll is what it is.
Exactly.
Oh, now my camera's all
ski-womp.
All wonky.
You're better now.
There we go.
All right. You don't have it?
Yeah, here it is right here. Okay. So here's what I got is the instruction manual.
Okay.
Here is the handle of the gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Little unit there.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then here is the... This is nice. Like, this is heavy, heavy stuff. And so you'll actually, like... Let's see. There's some arrangement. Oh, here we go. I have to figure out how it actually gets arranged.
Yeah. You have to glue that or does it lock in?
Oh. You glue it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Like that. And then there's a piece that goes behind there. You can actually, like, I bought some pneumonium magnets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like
there. Oh, so
yeah.
You can actually use those to hold the pieces together. And then there's some other smaller pieces and... This weekend. Oh, and they also like included a bunch of, these are all designed by April Ness. Like, decals.
Sure.
Put on there.
Oh, I didn't know she did those. She's perfect for that. She has all kinds of cool stuff like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, so that is a project for this weekend.
Here's the final stage.
Then I will have to take the gun.
That's how it ends.
That's how it ends. You'll take the gun.
I will take the gun. Now, if you do that, I'd watch a bunch of that. Should stream it. You should.
Yeah, I should. I should.
I think it's a great idea. I like this idea. Well done, chat, whoever said that.
He actually put some YouTube videos this year of the process, like basically the process of doing it from start to finish that like says, all right, now get some sandpaper, do this with it. All right, now glue these two pieces together. And is like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. By the way, I was on, before we go here, this reminds me, because you could do this in the categories for doing art and stuff and creative stuff on Twitch. I was browsing around that area yesterday let's see what somebody's doing. I found somebody painting. I found some digital cool stuff. I saw somebody sculpting. That was cool. And then I found a page where it was going to be an art history lesson. And I pulled it up, and up comes the video. And what I'm presented with is a young, I don't know, 20-something girl in her bra and panties sitting on a stool talking about art history. Yeah, talking about art history. Yeah. Now, I thought underwear, I didn't think you could get away with that. Like, they banned...
No, I didn't think so either.
They banned Kyle's channel because Kristen once wore a swimsuit for a summer thing they were doing. And I thought... First of all, I thought it was a little crazy because it wasn't like she was all being sexy. She was just wearing this like boring swimsuit. But the other, not that Kristen's boring, she's lovely. It's not what I'm saying. But this girl's sitting there in her lacy bra and panties going, and so in the 17th century, when Monet used to do this and that with the other thing. And I'm like, this is not art history. This is a bunch of dudes, you know, fiddling with their ween, probably is what's going on here. It really bugged me. Anyway, whatever, Twitch. You got your stuff. We got our stuff. Everyone's got our stuff. Hey, Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, we will have Wendy here. We're going to take your calls. It is Therapy Thursday. So stick around for that. Before that, though, a song from Brian, please.
Yes, something brand new from a band called Ocean Wires. So brand new, it's not coming out till... next February 15th, so the day after Valentine's Day next year. But you're going to get to hear the single before everybody else. This is, they've been inspired by Angular Guitar Works of Television and Savages. Dave Einmo and Aaron Starkey from the bands Head Like a Kite and Gibraltar initially set out together to find the space between their own waves 3 years ago as they started writing ideas around the singular promise of an ancient Korg KR-55 drum machine. It was a start, not an ending. Now, here's what's really cool about this. It reminds me a lot of The Offspring. So if you like The Offspring, you hopefully will like this as well.
Ooh, do they say, gotta keep them separated?
They do not. That would be a little bit too on the nose. Okay. But these guys are great and very rockin'. The album is going to be called, or the album will be called, There Never Was a Was. The band is Ocean Wires. Here is the lead-off single called Beware the Heartless.
You will not feel the crushing too. there's something else to look out for. Playing in the streets. So be careful, kids. Why don't you stay out of it?
The Morning Stream. Donde está la biblioteca?
All right, we're back, everybody. Time for us to dive deep into the world of my sister, Wendy.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We're going to get her in here and talk about you guys. It's open phones. That's right. Time for you to call in. Oh, that was weird. That totally was weird. Okay, that's fine now. Everything's fine.
There we go.
It's like reset the call or something. That was weird.
You know what, though? You sound a whole lot better. Like it was doing that janky stuff again. So
was it? Weird.
All of a sudden, it is just massively better.
I don't understand what that's about.
Really I don't funky. Either. I don't.
We'll take whatever we can get, though. Anyway, we're going to bring Wendy in here, assuming she's around. I don't know if she's online. Let's see. I'm going to pop.
I'm new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I'm doing.
A brand new one. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. Remember these? The old MacBook Airs that were like the mini ones? These little tiny.
Yeah.
So cute. You mean
like this one right here next to me?
Yeah, like that one. What year? What year did you get?
This is mine is the 2013 11 inch right here.
Yeah.
Maybe right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So mine, I think, was the same. I think it was a 2011, whatever. And all of my keys, like I had no letters left. Like I wore that. It was crazy. Anyway, and I didn't actually want a new computer. Adam's like, here's one because you need to act like you're in the modern era.
I like that you're calling a 2011 MacBook a new computer. I like that. That's a fun way to look at it.
I have a new one. That was my old one.
Oh, I thought you were saying that's the one you got. All right, so you got one of the new MacBooks that just came out.
Yeah, and they are beautiful.
Yeah, they're very nice. New ones are sexy sweet. I'm glad.
And I like that to just put my finger on it to get in. That's the best part.
Yeah, everybody likes to put their finger on it to get in. That's the way it's supposed to go. Now, look here. Now, here's the deal. That thing's got... Yeah. This is the first MacBook Air refresh in a long time, and it has that big, beautiful screen. Does it go to the edges now, or does it still have the big border like the MacBook Airs used to have?
It has a border.
It's thin, though, right? Thinner?
Oh, yeah. It's really thin.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm
and also I've been staring at a 11 incher for a lot of years, so this feels like I am staring at a giant screen. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not a good one to ask.
Well, they last forever. I still have an Air around here somewhere that still works that I've had for, I think it was the original Air. That thing's ancient. Still works.
Mm-hmm.
They work forever.
I talked about replacing my iPad a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
iPad I'm keeping for a while. It is my. MacBook Air that I need to replace. So remember when I said, hey, if anybody out there wants to buy an old iPad, well, I'm switching that. Anybody out there wants to buy a 2013 11 inch? This thing is still great.
Yeah.
It just isn't powerful enough for the high end stuff that I'm wanting to do with it. If I go with Tina to New Mexico,
yeah.
I don't want to have to take my whole computer again.
That's true. And if somebody's looking for just like a good general purpose sort of
totally
emails and browsing and web and this and that, they're perfect for that still, and they last freaking
exactly
forever.
Give it to a kid for their homework. That's where mine is going.
They never break. All
they
right.
Just don't have finger. There's no letters left because I have rubbed them all off.
Oh, weird.
I'm very harsh on A and S.
so we know that your password is ass.
Just one S, though.
Yeah, just one S. That's a really safe two-character password. I think no one will ever hack you. All right.
That brings our this episode of TMS Garage Sale to a close.
That's right. Check in next week when I've got an old tire to give you. Wendy, it's good to have you here. I hope the holidays are going fine. Everything fine?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. Did our box make it? Did our box arrive? Or
it did. It did. I meant to send you guys a text yesterday. It's so fun. We have your cards and Carter cards and old school games and delicious hot chocolate, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, you should play some. You should whip those decks out and get a little Smash going. Get the family playing Smash the old days.
We got Settlers of Catan for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I forgot that it takes 3 hours to play that game.
Oh, yeah. It's a beast. It's like playing Risk. You got to get in there for the long haul.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun, though. I forgot. Anyway, and you know, our kid, and, you know, Pete, first time out of the gate, 6 years old, beat everybody.
Yep. And it's the best. The European board games, still the best, man. Those guys, I don't know what's, something's in the water in Europe, but especially in Germany, they make the best board games. Like, if you go find a game and you're like, oh, I hear this is amazing, look on the back. I guarantee it's like some German or British game.
German or Czech or something.
Yeah,
cool.
Sometimes the Czech. They only do checkers in Czech. Just kidding. It's a terrible joke. Hey, check it out, everybody. It's time for Wendy and Therapy Thursday. She comes on the show on Thursdays, and we talk about your questions, your issues, your thoughts, your feelings. And we're going to take a call right away. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
It's Kimmy. Walking glitch.
Hello, walking glitch. Hey, wow. Nice to have you back. We just had you on for our contest thing on Monday.
She wins, and then she comes on for Thursday, which is great.
Or I guess Wednesday. It was yesterday. But anyway, welcome to Therapy Thursday. What's your question?
I didn't want to actually take up too much time. It's more of an update.
Okay.
I called a while ago about anxiety and my kids, worry about actually something happening to her and contemplating having another.
Right.
I just want to let you guys know I actually... finally scheduled a therapy appointment for next month.
Oh, great. That's awesome. And you found, you know, how did you do that? Like, this is probably good information for people. Like, where did you, what was your process finding somebody good locally and, you know, that you trust and all that?
Yeah, so it's going to still be a process of trial and error, but I first looked at what my insurance can cover, and I know that's not an option for everyone, but at least gave me options for what's local, what's close, gave me names, and I could look up their profiles on their website and set up a schedule from there, and hopefully it's a good match. If not, I'll try someone else. It's going to be a process.
Sure.
But if you have a primary care doctor, they usually can recommend someone too. I just don't go to a doctor regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's an option for other people too. But if you don't have insurance, I know that there are usually local programs that can help people too.
Well, Wendy, that feels like a big step forward, doesn't it? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. I mean, it really is a big deal. And thank you for following up to show that people can do it, because it really is. It's so easy to put off. Like, it's easy to put off a doctor visit, sort of, just as, you know, you can have a pussing wound to be like, wah, it'll go away, right? Or like, I don't want to spend the money. Or it's just hard to take care of ourselves sometimes, especially if finances are tight, and especially if anxiety and depression are the things you're struggling with, because those two things by their very definition reduce one's ability and desire and capacity to go out and shop for a person you like to talk to. I mean, it's really hard. In fact, I've been thinking lately, like, there's got to be a better way to design the system. Like, it is maddening how difficult it is to navigate this. And I think part of that is therapists are so analog. And there are definitely ones who are, like, out there and shiny and stuff. But their job is to really, like, sit in a cozy office with you and make you feel safe. Like, that it isn't to, I don't know, design a whole thing. So could somebody get on that? That'd be great.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's really a big deal. And you've got the right attitude. It's hard to do, which is sort of, I need to make sure this person clicks with me and I feel safe and good and I can do the work I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that takes a little shopping around.
Yeah.
There is a Psychology Today, or is it Psychology? I forget.com, that has the profiles of tons and tons of therapists. You will not find me on there because I don't like it. No, it's not what I need to do. I don't need to do it for my purposes, but a lot of therapists will have their profiles up. And so you can get a sense of them, kind of look at their expertise, look at their background. There's a lot more information about a particular therapist there than I think in most places. Insurance companies will also sometimes provide this. You can contact your insurance company and say, hey, who is sort of do you have an expert on who's available and kind of what their backgrounds are?
Right.
And they can talk you through who's what and who's in your insurance. Because it makes a big difference if you have health insurance to have help with that coverage.
Ours actually give us like a book every year that has all the names in it. I don't know if that's true of every healthcare plan, but they give us this book and it's like, here's everybody across the board and all the specialties and from primary care all the way down to, you know, if you just need a foot guy. Right. It's got everybody's numbers and names and where they are and what hospitals and all that kind of stuff. And so maybe there's something like that may exist that you could get from them. But
so can I ask you a question?
Yeah, that's how I found it. I went, just like they had a website where you can look up all that information too by specialty and location. So if distance is an issue.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Can I ask you a question? Did you happen to actually speak to the therapist when you called to make the appointment?
I haven't yet. No. But I'll, so my appointment's actually for the 21st, because I also have like specific schedule that I need, because I have to like have a babysitter, and so it has to be like a certain time of day, and around here
that's great.
They don't have Saturday hours.
Right, exactly.
And I'll think he was actually in, because they only had like three therapists there that take my insurance, so it's it's this whole shebang that's already like, it's hard to call them, and then like setting the appointment is even more of a thing. It's like, can I just hang up? Nope, I need to do this.
Right, exactly. I mean, honestly, this needs to be all automated somehow. I mean, what's really tricky too is that, you know, you'll go in and you'll meet this person who's a total stranger and just be like, okay, am I ready to tell you my life story? That is a hard thing to do. And if the therapist is good and, you know, you'll feel comfortable pretty quickly, or you won't. And you'll sort of know, like, you'll leave and go, wow, I don't feel any better, or I don't have any more hope, or, you know, that kind of means maybe there's somebody else out there for you. But one thought, and Kim, you don't maybe keep going with what you're doing, but for those listening, maybe this is a helpful thing too, especially if it's a clinician who's in private practice. You can request to talk to them on the phone, and you'll see this on people's websites as well. Like, you know, you could do a brief consultation with them on the phone just to kind of get a sense if they're a match for you. I've had a lot of people want to talk to me first. So we just have a quick chat on the phone. I tell them kind of my style, what I'm going to do, what, you know, is expected of them, how it all works. And then they can have already sort of a gut check with me on the phone. And so I don't think that's a bad thing to request if you feel like, and maybe at this stage that just feels like a lot, and it's just better to show up and get that done. And that's okay too, of course. Anything you do is okay. But for those who are sort of listening and thinking, oh, I don't know if I can go through a bunch of visits to do this. So, you know, see if they're willing to have a quick chat with you on the phone.
You think that's pretty common? Like most of them do that sort of thing? Like,
I think they do more so probably with private practice. I think we're very used to making an appointment with a stranger.
Guys, chat says stream is cutting out.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, I'll figure it out. Hold on a second. Oop, I cut her off. Crap.
Oh, no.
Is it? Hi, everybody. Well, I'm putting this in post-show because my internet took a dump. It's a Christmas miracle. Yeah, my ISP died. I don't know why or what's going on or when this show will actually be posted today, hopefully soon. But after trying as hard as I could for as long as I could never get us back to where we need to be to make it work. And so we're cutting things short. I know that feels weird. I apologize. Not my intention at all to do that to you, poor listener. It doesn't happen very often, but don't worry. In the new year, we'll have Wendy back and we'll have an amazing time. Oh my gosh, we'll make up for this. But yeah, my internet's dead and the hours continue to tick forward. We have to go. Anyway, so we should probably do this song though. Brian gave me a song. It's a request. And I got some copy from Brian, who texted this over to me because he was nice and understands that when the internet's down, we have to do what we have to do. Dear Buster and Scruggs, on the 14th of December, I will be 43 years old and will be just over a year since I began transitioning. By the way, this email is a little late because it's a holiday one, but we were stacked. And anyway, you'll understand. It has been a year of ups and downs and emotional turmoil, yet I am still the happiest I've ever been. This time has also brought me to a new job, the first interview I had since the beginning of my transition. I am blessed in the fact that I have the support of my friends, family, and work, which I am ever thankful. Could you please play my song request on the 13th of December? No, I'm sorry, we couldn't, apparently. I'm not sure why, but we're playing it today instead, here on the 27th. And I'll listen to it at work on Friday, which is his actual birthday. Happy birthday, by the way. Preparing for the Destroyer of Worlds because I can't find my Bhutanese passport, Lisa Maring. The song is Wandering Around by Show of Hands, a Jethro Tull cover band, I can't read, by a Canadian group called Show of Hands. So that's the song we're going to play. And we'll be back tomorrow with a PM edition of the show. Hopefully everything's fixed by then, if ISP gods be willing. But we look forward to talking to you one way or the other. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Wondering aloud how we feel today. Last night at the sunset, my hands in her hair. We are our own saviors as we start. Both our hearts beating life into each other. Wondering aloud, will these treat us well? As she floats in the kitchen, I'm tasting the smell. Of the toast as the butter runs, and she comes spilling crumbs on the bed. And I shake my head. And it's only the giving that makes you what you are.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.